This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a wonderful day in Texas.
I would be shocked. I would literally roll over and probably be sick if you said something other than it's a wonderful day. I don't know. It would start the day off on just the wrong foot. So, I mean, you're always positive. You're always starting out the day with a nice, kind, gentle word. And it's nice.
Well, let me tell you something. As long as we're alive, it's a good day in Texas.
Well, that's true.
I always think about that. Well, the alternative is not good.
That's true. And it's a wonderful time of year.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Pardon the pun.
But, and everybody's getting their Christmas wrapping done.
Yeah.
They're getting their presents done. I mean, there's just good things happening all around. The stores are... They've got the good music going. That's another good thing about Christmas. The stores start playing Jingle Bells and Silent Night and all the wonderful Christmas carols. So it's a good time in Texas.
Yeah, it's probably the greatest time of year. You know, you got a good solid, a little over a month from Thanksgiving until the holidays like Christmas and New Year's, because we drag it out an extra week for New Year's. And then it's just like this wonderful time where you just kind of like relax a little bit. Well, some people don't. You go crazy, you know, getting all the Christmas shopping done and all that. But then you get to hopefully spend some time with friends and family and loved ones and just kind of like relax and just kind of like put all of our worries aside, hopefully, and just enjoy the season and the people that are around us. And it's nice.
It's nice. And it's time to, you know, brotherly love. It's time for giving. It's always better to give than receive.
Yeah.
And, you know. Everybody may not believe that, but I do. And everybody's got their Christmas wish lists going. The children do, I can tell you that. And they're sending things out to Santa Claus. The big people wish they could. And it's a joyous time of year. You know, there is a lot of musicals. The Nutcracker's on at the Bass. Prestonwood Baptist Church, you know. They've just almost completed theirs. I don't know how many thousand people went this year, but it's amazing. They have all the camels. They have the donkeys. I just can't even tell you all the animals that's in that play. And then Santa appears. And, you know, he's came in a convertible last year, and it flew all up in the air. The angels flew.
I mean,
it was a magnificent thing to see. It really is.
Neat.
And it's probably the neatest play that we have in the state of Texas.
Yeah, you go every year, don't you?
I think it's the biggest. I've went every year. I did not go this year. I had a conflict.
Hmm.
But, yes, I heard all about it.
Wow.
My family all went, I can assure you.
And they rubbed it in your face and told you all of what you missed.
That's right. They all made mention of the fact that Mimi was not there. Oh, my gosh. But, yes, it is a wonderful time of year. We finally got the culmination of the year is at Christmas.
Yes.
Everything you've worked hard for, Christmas is it. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody gets what they want.
What's such?
And
you know, throughout the year, you know, it's all like, you know, work, work, work. We're all busy and we're all like, you know, hustle and bustle and we're, you know, doing
That's
all
right.
the things that we do. It's nice to just kind of like take a break at the end of the year, just kind of like, you know, celebrate what happened during the year, celebrate people, celebrate, you know, and then of course you got the reason for the season, and then you've got the gifts and you've got the lights and you've got the music and all of it. So it's nice. It's a good time of year. If only Christmas was like
it's
this all year.
Time. Mm-hmm. I know, and if everybody was nice to each other all year, it seems like at Christmas people are nicer. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
It does seem like they mellow out a little bit.
It does.
They, you know, toward their fellow man. It seems like they're a little nicer.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
nice.
I notice that about people. Of course, most Texans are polite all year, but we now have people from other states here. And they don't know the Texas way, that we're polite to each other, that we stop when we see a car in trouble, and we help them. And these people from other states are going to have to learn about that.
Yeah, especially the ones from New Jersey.
I know. I saw a car the other day from New Jersey. It scared me to death. So, oh, my gosh, they're coming for us.
you better hide. They're coming.
That's right. They're coming. And they're taking no prisoners, let me tell you.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are the big highlights from this week? Is there good stuff happening?
We had another maturity.
Really?
You realize we've had five maturities in the last 30 days. Five.
Really?
Yes. There were six people in this one. It's amazing that we've had five this in the last 30 days. You know, I always say they come in threes. This time they've come in a little more than threes. So we're thankful for all those. Again, it was a policy that need to come in. We need every one of them to mature. But it's always really great when we get those in. And we notify people that they've got money coming.
How is availability of policies? Is that kind of turned around, or are we still kind of in the same
Not
position?
Not completely. We've got some bids out, but we're having a hard time getting policies right now. They're just not coming in like they usually do. You know, we filled that $1 million one. We've got several policies out that we bid on. We don't know if we're going to get them or not, but we're bidding everything that is right. You know, if it meets our criteria, you know, if it's stage four cancer, you know, if it's stomach cancer, liver, pancreas, colon cancer, and breast cancer, you know, those are our main ones. And we're just having a hard time right now. We've had several people that we won their policy. Then they changed their mind, said, well, you know, it looks like we might die pretty quick. We're just going to keep it. We've had three of those that they backed out and didn't sell us the policy after we went to all the trouble to bid it.
Mm. You know, it seems like it's one of those things that kind of maybe goes through trends. Is it like is it a broker issue? Is it just like the policy holder is maybe, I don't know, exploring other options?
It's the policy holders that are just can't make up their mind.
Mm.
We know they're short. We know that, you know, that's why we want it, because it's a short life expectancy. But they get to thinking maybe that they'll just keep it, that it's so short that that maybe they can get the money themselves. So, and I don't know, but we've had three of those. But we've got several $1 million out in bids. We just haven't had anybody say yes on several of these that we really need an answer on. So we're trying to get as many as we can before Christmas, get people's money invested. And, of course, we'll be having more maturities probably, you know, in the next 2-3 weeks.
How does the bidding process go? Okay, so I know you said that you've got, you know, several bids that are out right now. And the fact that people are, you know, sometimes, you know, changing their mind or a little bit unsure, and the fact that there is limited amounts of policies available to bid on, is the bidding time changing, or is there a standard, like it's, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks, or is that, you know, is there a shift in that at all, or are things, how does that work in general?
Well, I don't think there's a shift in the way it's done. It's just getting people to say yes. In other words, the bidding is taking longer before we find out if they said yes or no. Usually bidding takes 2 weeks, you know, from the start to the final bids. Because we'll bid something, and we may be low, and they will come back and say, "Faye, can you raise your bid? Can you bid 10,000 more, or 20,000, whatever it is?" And then sometimes we go in and they say all the way that we're the top bidder, and those they'll come back and say, "Okay, you are the high bidder. It looks like you're going to get it." And so, you know, we hold on to see if we do get it, and then we've got to be sure that we get contracts from those people. So if we don't get the contracts right away, we know there's a problem. Hmm. We know that they haven't agreed to it. The brokers agreed. They've said we've won it. But we still have to have the signature of the people that's selling the policy. And usually it goes smooth. Usually once we've won, we go to escrow. We put the money in the bank, and then they send us all the papers. And then we pay them, and then it belongs to our investors. That's usually the way it works, and it works pretty well most of the time. But right now, as I said, we've had people change their mind, and then we've had the one guy that did pass away after we had won the policy. So sometimes they are cutting it too short, mm-hmm. you know, and they didn't realize it. We just had a policy mature last week that we just did it 3 months ago.
Oh, geez, that's fast.
Yeah, we did that policy 3 months ago, and the person has passed away. So, you know, it was a short LE, okay. And, you know, we like them short. We like 2 to 3 years because lots of times if it says three, they may come in early, may come in, you know, in the middle of it, or it may come in on time. You never know for sure. The body, they can't predict it exactly.
Yeah, it's an educated guess, but there's a lot more science behind those quote guesses now than there was even, you know, 2 years ago, because you've always been talking about how, you know, there's always improvements in those areas. And now, you know, the doctors and scientists are, you know, they have more data, they have more, I guess, tools, and there's more past historical stuff that they can go on and base those LEs on. So they do get better over time. And I think right now they're better than they have been. Is that fair to say, do you think?
I think they're a lot better than they have been in the past, because now we can seem to really rely on what they say. And what I like about the ones that are scientists that we use, they'll go back and tell you all the clinical trials, how the clinical trials came out, if it showed that they have maybe, some of them have lived 5 years, 3 years, or was it 12 months? Mm. And they'll tell you all that. They'll tell you in the clinical trials how long the people lived, what they found out about the latest chemo or immunology therapy, you know, whatever kind of therapy they're on, and what drugs are helping and which ones are not doing any good. So you learn all that by these scientists that have the latest date information on cancer.
Hmm. So, yeah, it sounds like the policy or the investment itself is probably even, and it's always been very steady. It's always been very solid. It's always been a very well-informed investment, but it sounds like it's got even more more now than it ever has been. So the investment itself
is
still
getting better, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the stock market. It's not getting any better, I don't think. You know, everybody says it's up and down all around, and this is not that way. This is just a steady investment. You put your money in it. When it matures, you get paid. The bank pays you. That's what I love about the investment, is we use a bank as a trustee for all money. All money has to go through Nevada Trust. If it isn't at Nevada Trust, it's not our investment. So that is our safety feature. The bank pays you every time there's a maturity. It goes to the bank writes the check out, puts it in everybody's account. So we love the accounting system that we've set up. It works. It's a safety factor. Like lots of times in the brokerage houses, you hear of all these disasters, and the bank doesn't have disasters, you know. They put it in your account, you get paid, it's safe because it's in the bank. And that's the way everybody's money should be handled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very secure. Is secure a good way to say it? Or streamlined?
Yes, the money's all secure because it's in the bank. And it's not out here at some company's headquarters.
Yeah.
I was just reading this morning about Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had this guy in charge of all their credit cards. He stole $22 million. You know? I mean, can you imagine? You've got so much money, you don't notice $22
million. Wow.
Wow. I'd be noticing that the first day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. So they, of course, he's going to go to jail, but how do you get all that money back?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talk about all the time about, you know, you're always, you know, showing us, you know, things that, you know, weird, you know, not embezzlement, but, you know, people stealing money from companies and doing all these things. And a lot of times.
They do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once they spend it on like a vacation or something like that, you can't recoup that. You can't get it back. You know, some of it you can, but a lot of it, you know, is just gone. They can.
I don't think they ever get it all back. I don't think so.
You'll
be possessed. I've never heard of one that said, "Oh, we're completely well." And of course, they should have them insured. I wonder if they had that guy insured at all. You know, for liability.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you're handling somebody's money, you should be insured.
And there should always be some kind of checks and balances. It seems like a lot of these don't have sufficient checks and balances and systems in place, which is...
On credit cards, they don't. It seems to me like on credit cards, they don't. Hmm. Because you remember years ago, the Corsicana bakery down there at Corsicana, you know, the bookkeeper stole $14 million over a period of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to have them insured. I mean, that's the only way I know to stop it. But, yes, I love the investment because it's a secure investment. First of all, you're investing in a life insurance policy, and that makes it safe because life insurance companies are so huge. They have billions of dollars sitting there that they can pay out at any time. So we've got you secure from that point. Then we've got your money secure. It's at the bank. And, let me tell you something. When you want to make a withdrawal or you want to do something, Philip says, let me check that. He calls the client, verifies. Even if the client has told us, take the money out and pay my premium, Philip will call him and verify every transaction. And all banks should do that.
Like personally?
You know, personally. He gets on the phone, he calls them. And like if somebody says, Faye, do this with $1,000. And I tell Philip, I didn't going to get it. He's going to call them and verify and make them put it in writing.
That's good, too. So there's two forms of verification.
There's two forms, and you have to have it. Everything has to be in writing. And they'll send it to us, then he verifies. So we've got two ways to verify every transaction.
That's fantastic. And
it is. And so and they make the premium payments when they're due. The money's always in escrow for premium. And then he's the one that makes the call and pays it. So I don't know how any more secure your investment could be than the way we do it.
Yeah. And not only are security processes in place, but also the value of the investment doesn't go down. So, if, say, the stock market were to crash you know, on Monday, first thing, you know, the life insurance companies, they still have all the reserves, like you said, on hand. And then, you know, when the policy pays out, they pay the full amount. They don't pay, you know, well, the stock market's not great today, so we're only gonna pay 70%. They pay the full value no matter what, and it doesn't change. It never has in a billion years, and it's never going to. It's not set up that way.
No, so. And so your investment is always the same as you started out. Whatever we agreed to, that's what you're going to get. Nobody's ever going to say, well, would you take less? No, that doesn't happen. The insurance company pays the face amount of the policy, always. So that's why it's a good, safe investment. It's a classic. I think right now it's better than real estate because, you know, it's easier. With real estate, you've got to go out here and find a buyer. And right now, I know in Dallas, Texas, there's so many office buildings that are vacant, they're changing some of them to condominiums.
Mm.
Yeah, they've got so many vacancies in office buildings in Dallas, Texas.
Jeez.
So you know that the commercial real estate is hurting in all of our bigger cities, because they have millions of square feet of office space. And people are downsizing. They're not using it all. And it's and they're empty. And so the lenders may end up with some of these office buildings.
Wow.
That's not a good thing.
You know, it seems like between things like, you know, real estate or the stock market, there are so many things for investors to worry about. But with a life settlement, you don't have those market conditions that could go up or down, things that all these different variables that could affect, you know, the value or the return of all these other types of investments. You don't have that with a life settlement. It's really just about just waiting. That's like really the biggest thing is just having patience, because literally you set it and forget it. There's no condition that would cause anybody to worry about the value of their return. It's just a matter of when the policy matures and when you get it. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
I think so, yes, because it's a simple investment. It's not complicated. Anybody can understand it. You bring us the money. We put it in as many policies as we can. You must be diversified. You can't have one policy and make it work. You need several policies. So when people come to us, we always tell them, you've got to be diversified. You've got to have several policies to make it work. So that's what we tell them. So we put them in several policies. They come due. We put the money in their account, and we do it again. So it's really very simple. You pick the policy that you want, that you think will make the most money, that'll come in on time, and then you do another one. And that's just the way it works. So you always have something coming in. You've got policies that you're waiting on, and then you've got those that have already matured. So it's a simple investment. It's an investment in a life insurance policy. And if they're not safe, there's nothing safe anywhere in the world, because the insurance companies, they don't make loans. They're not like banks. They don't have the liabilities, and they don't have the exposure.
This is kind of a loaded question, and I'm going to ask it anyway because I want to hear how you'll answer this. What does an average portfolio look like for the most successful investors that you've got? I know everybody's different and they have different, you know, amounts of policies they're in, you know, for different, you know, dollar amounts, different types of policies, things like, I know everybody is a little bit different, but for your most successful investors, what does their average portfolio look like?
Well, the average person probably got 10 to 20 policies.
Hmm. Okay.
Because it takes several policies. If you just had one policy and it went over, you're just sitting there for a longer period of time. But if you've got several of them, different ones will come due. You'll get those reinvested, and you get the others reinvested when they do. So you've got money coming in, and so that's the way it works. We've got some old policies that were not as good as what we thought they were. So we're waiting on those to mature. But the ones in the last 3 or 4 years are doing great. We're having maturities all the time. And as you know, we've had 5 maturities this month.
Yeah.
So that speaks for a lot of people. So a lot of people are getting paid, and they're reinvesting. People are calling me wanting to get their money invested.
Can we shift over for a second to annuities? Because I know that, you know, for
sure.
a while, the bonuses were a big thing. As we get towards the end of the year, are those starting to...
Well, they're changing a little bit.
Okay.
We've still got the two good bonuses. You can get the 12 or you can get the 19%. And on the 12% bonus, now they're only going to give you the money you put in every year for 3 years. So the bonus on the 12% is good for 3 instead of 7.
Okay.
The other one, you can still get the big bonus. And the way you really make it work, you take that 17% and then you add the fixed rate. So you're actually over 20% for the year.
Oh, geez.
So that's a good thing, you know. And that's still available. So both of those bonuses are available. They're both great. The 12%, there's no fees with it. There's no additional cost to it. It's just 12% the first year, and you put the fixed rate on it, and you get another 4.5%. So that's a great way to do it. The other one, you're going to get the 19% plus your fixed rate. And there is a fee on that one, but you get a lot of goodies on it. It's got the 4% at the end if you take a payout. It's got an enhanced withdrawal. It's got a lot of things for that additional 1%. So either one works. People call me, talk to me about an annuity. Several people that are now 70, they're saying, Faye, I need to get in annuities. I have some people 73 fixing to have to start taking RMDs. They want to get in annuities. And annuities are great. You can't outlive them. Remember, it's tax deferred. You take it out. It's compound interest. There's nothing negative about a fixed index annuity.
It's just profit on top of profit is what it sounds like.
It is. And it's good for years to come. And as I said, you know, I looked up some of the people, and the lady that had put $100,000 in, it's worth $300,000 now.
Oh.
I looked her account up.
Wow.
So she's made a lot of money over the years.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been spending it, obviously.
Hmm.
It wasn't an IRA, so she didn't have to take withdrawals. On her other policy, she had to take withdrawals. But she hadn't on this one. So that compound interest has really paid off. So if a person, you know, is thinking, you know, they're going to need income, an annuity is the way to go.
Is somebody like an investor, like in their 70s, is that a good average age to get into annuities? Or what's the prime target, I guess, age for annuities?
I'd say 60 to start with. If you're 60, you can start doing annuities. If you're 70 to 76. It's a perfect time for annuities, because if you're fixing to retire, and I've got several people that are, if you're retiring, you need to go into an annuity where you'll have income every year and you'll know how much it is. You can also take your RMDs out of there. There's a lot of good things about annuities. Annuities are paying great bonuses right now. You can increase your portfolio by getting the bonuses. And if it's a deal where you're going to put money in every year, annuity is perfect, because for the next 3 years, you'll get a bonus on that. So that's really important.
And there's probably no way to know if bonuses will be around into next year. We probably have no way of knowing that, right? I mean, just they're here
now.
We
don't know. No.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know that, you know, some people have, you know, probably been, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen, waiting to kind of, because we all procrastinate. You talk about people, you know,
procrastinating
all the time. And so if people are, you know, interested in annuities, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and get started before the end of the year, as opposed to waiting into next year just to kind of see what's happening. Is that fair to say?
A lot of people are doing annuities before the end of the year. I've got several people, I'm doing them right now, because they're going to have to start taking their RMDs out of their IRAs. So now's a good time to do it before the end of the year. Some of those, you have to take it before the end of this year. Some of them, it's not going to happen until next year. So you have to get prepared either way.
Okay.
And the annuity is the safest way to access your money.
And speaking of safe, we should probably stress again, just to make sure that we drive the point home, that annuities are not in the stock market. So if something happens on Wall Street, you know, if the bottom falls out, you know, on Tuesday, you're not going to, there's a safety net. You're not going to, you know, lose your principal. That's kind of like locked in. It mirrors the stock market, but annuities are not actually in the stock market.
That's exactly right. You told it just like it is. It mirrors the stock market. The investments run along beside it, but you're safe because your money's always in the annuity. And if the stock market goes down, your annuity just sits there. If it goes up, you get paid. If it goes down, it just sits there. And you don't lose any of your principal. Your principal's never at risk.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. People want to make sure that they protect their principal. And so this is a good way to do it, I guess. So, you know, really either way, if people, you know, like annuities, if they like life settlements, if they like both, it's not a one or the other type of thing. You have plenty of people that do both investments, right?
That's exactly right. I've got a lot of people that have got money in life settlements, and now they're getting older, so now they're putting some money into annuities. I've got people that have set up their grandchildren annuities, their children annuities. For the people that have larger estates, they're going to annuities for their grandchildren and their children where they'll know they have guaranteed income. And like if you've got someone that's foolish with money, annuity is a place to go. If you've got somebody that is younger that doesn't know how to take care of money, an annuity. If you've got an elderly parent that you don't want someone to come by and, you know, get them to write a check for all their money, you put it in an annuity, and then they just take yearly or monthly income. And then if something happens and you're not there to care for them, you don't have to worry about it. The money is in the annuity. The annuity company will pay out every year.
And am I accurate in saying that the annuity is not part of your estate? Is that?
That's right. It's
okay.
Going to pay separately. You've got your beneficiaries in your annuity.
Okay.
It's separate. So your annuity has its own beneficiaries. Your estate is going to have beneficiaries. And if your estate is held up, let's say, for 6 months, if it's a large estate, if somebody gets mad and they're suing you over the estate, the annuity will, you can just go ahead and cash it in and pay out.
Okay.
So you'll have cash there if you have to wait on money on another part. So you've always got your cash. Just cash the annuity, and whoever's supposed to get it, they get it right then.
Okay. So it's kind of like it's almost like it's protected against somebody who may get mad and try to sue or something like that. It's that they can't touch
That's
it.
That's right. It is protected, yes.
Okay. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Big Spring, Texas.
Ooh.
They're the lighted poinsettia capital of Texas.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not.
They have a festival of lights every year at Comanche Trail Park.
Ooh.
This has been going on for years. They get over 20,000 visitors from December the 3rd through the 25th.
Really?
Everybody loves to come and see this. And this has been going on for years. I didn't even know about it. So everybody comes to Big Spring. They have houses and shops decorated with lights and Christmas trees. This started in the mid-1990s. So they started decorating the historic spring and the surrounding parkland with poinsettias. They're sculpted out of wire and lights. They put 100 of these poinsettias. They're 150 feet tall.
Good Lord.
They're all part of the Comanche Trail Festival of Lights. It's a mile-long trail of holiday light displays that they do every year. And it's something to behold, is what I've been told by several people. So they've become known for their Christmas spirit and their community services. People can walk down through Comanche Trail Park to view this. They have all kinds of lights, displays, giant candy canes, giant Christmas trees, nutcrackers, and everything is lit up. And they boast a million lights.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is. In 2017, our legislator designated Big Spring as the lighted poinsettia capital of Texas.
That's cool. It's official.
It is. Everybody wants for something. And so this is a good thing to be known for. It's one of the 100 places in Texas, you know, with a special designation. As I said, a local lady named Pat Simmons got the idea in 1996 to light up the large spring that gave the town its name. And in the 1880s, the spring was the largest water source within 100 miles. And the animals and the Comanches watered there at this spring. Can you imagine that the Comanches were the first one using that spring? Then it dried up, but they have a lake there, and they pump the water from the lake over there. And the first year, they just had 6 poinsettias. Can you imagine? But it caught on, and everybody said, well, let me put up some. Let me put up some. And all the local businesses and residents started buying these huge poinsettias to put in the windows, the yards, and they sprinkled them all over town.
Wow.
But Howard and Vicki Stewart started this. She was an artist. She designed the displays. And her husband, Harold, was able to build everything she wanted. And they passed away in 2021. It was a big blow, of course, to the festival. But they made up a little deal celebrating them. And they had an angel they had built. So that angel is celebrated every year, and they said they put a photograph of them and a thank you to the festival for them. But it's a constant part of the festival to show all these displays, and it's been going on now for 20 years.
Wow.
And they say it's a great way to get into the Christmas spirit. People come from far and wide to see these huge poinsettias that are 150 feet tall.
Can you
imagine?
No, I can't. I'm trying to.
I can't even imagine this deal. I mean, and the angel that they made out of wire.
I mean, I know that all flowers are pretty, and they're all, you know, special in their own way. But there's something that's just different about poinsettias for some reason, especially, I mean, it's great to see like one or two, but when you see like a massive amount of them all together, there's just something
and lit
that,
up. I mean,
yes.
That's what's so pretty.
Yes. It's just,
I love the idea.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. And it's what started in 96?
Six. Yeah. They started this way back in 96. This lady, just did a few. And then a few more, then she got her husband to build all this. And he got an axe, started building all the displays and wiring the poinsettias and doing all this. And then the businessmen and the residents got involved. And they said, we love this. We're going to do it. So everybody started building poinsettias, putting them up. And now over 20,000 people come every year just to see them.
It's kind of neat how it started out with just a few, and then it kind of caught on, and people like wanted to be a part of it, and it's like, this is really something special. And they didn't do it with the goal of, hey, let's, you know, set a world record, or let's become the official, you know, lighted capital of Texas or anything. They didn't start for any of that. They started because it was just something magical, and it just kind of like grew. And so now,
and then people heard about it and started coming, and more people heard about it and started coming. And during that month, They said they'll have over 20,000 people come and view the poinsettias and the trail.
Wow. I mean, that's right in our backyard. I had no idea that that many people, came for you know, something like this. I guess maybe you just kind of like lose perspective because, you know, we're like here all the time and you just don't really know.
And you don't think about it. It's in our backyard and nobody even knew about it. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had all this lighting going on, all these beautiful poinsettias. And so I think everybody should go over and see it. Seeing is believing.
That's true. Seeing is believing, you know. And this is—it seems like we're all kind of like in the everybody that I've talked to, anyway. It's like we're all ready for, you know, almost like Christmas overload. You know, we could all use a lot of little extra Christmas this year, especially. So, you know, it's great to take the whole family to. It's great to just seeing like the displays and the whole, I mean, just the whole thing. It's just, you know, it's
almost a mile long.
Yeah.
It's a mile long. So, you know, it's great. You know, that's a lot of lights.
Yeah. Not like you're just like going over there to you know, see, you know, somebody's, you know, front porch or something that they lit up. I mean,
that's
it's a big deal.
Everybody's in the act.
Yeah.
And they said every year something new has been added. Somebody comes up with something new to put in it every year.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, you know, that even though, you know, they passed away, what, 21?
I think. Yeah, 21.
21, 20. And, you know, they kept things going, and then it's still growing, and there's, you know, things in their honor, in their memory, and it just seems like, because sometimes you have somebody that, you know, will start something, and then when they're no longer involved in it, for whatever reason, things just kind of like fall off to the side, and it just kind of like falls apart. But the fact that it's not only still going, but, you know, they're still thriving and still growing it, because you say something different is added every year, that's really cool. I mean, it's special.
It is. It's very special. And every town should have that opportunity. I wish they all did that. Can you imagine if everybody had something that pretty up?
Mm.
But they say there's 100 towns in Texas that have been given special designations.
Really?
So we'll do some stories on some of these other towns that have done all these Christmas things that everybody drives miles to see.
100 towns in Texas with a special
100.
Holiday recognition.
That's right.
Wow. Wow. I didn't realize that. I mean, geez.
Yes.
You could put together like a whole Texas travel thing just for the holidays. It would be.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. A person could go and see all these, and most of them are drive-thrus, but there's several towns that I'm familiar with that have these beautiful lights, and people go there, they drive there. And go through the whole thing to see it. And little children love it, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. You know, it's been a couple of years, but we used to love to go over to San Antonio and go down the Riverwalk at the holidays. That was always really cool. That was great.
And they have lights up all the time down there, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
The string lights are up all the time. And I understand at Christmas, it's really pretty on the Riverwalk.
Yeah. And didn't you say that there are several, and I know it's kind of like expanded into like Halloween, people doing these big, huge, you know, displays, but it's just like, you know, when you have like a whole like neighborhood, like where not just where people just kind of like casually drive through, but people know about it. And it's like, hey, this is a really big deal. You know, the entire neighborhood goes like overboard. Didn't you say at one point, and I may be misquoting or misremembering, but I thought that you were saying that holiday displays are getting bigger and more extravagant than they ever have in the future or in the past.
I think they are. Because a lot of the ones I've seen are huge. The trees are huge. The displays are huge. The snowman is 20 foot tall.
That's cool.
Yeah, the snowman's bigger than we are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know all about that.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, I think we're all ready for some holiday cheer this year. So.
That's right. We need it in this old world.
Yeah, a little trip over to Big Spring might do us all a little bit of good. Maybe that's something for people to do tonight. That'd be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time.
Yeah, it is. This is Saturday your money.
Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a good way to spend a Saturday night. I mean, well, really any night. You know, you get the whole family in the car. You take a little drive. You put on some Christmas music, and you soak it all in, I guess. And poinsettias, they're so special. I don't know why, but you just, you know,
they're
you see
them.
They're
just a beautiful flower. They really are.
Yeah, they are. And they're hard to maintain, but what's the word?
Keep them for the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, they're hard
I've
to.
I've had some that lasted a long time. Then I've had some that start shedding their their flowers immediately.
I know it. Yeah, yeah.
I think it depends on the temperature and how old they are. Sometimes they give us old ones rather than fresh ones.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I mean, it's really, really cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Didn't you used to love to go over to the mall at holidays? You know, the displays, the music, the perfume counter, the jewelry counter.
Oh, yeah. And they make sure that the music is great, it's loud, and it puts you in the spirit.
It does. And since we don't have many malls anymore.
That's right. The malls are on their way out.
Yeah. We need someplace else to go to take in some holiday cheer. So,
that's right.
We're looking for stuff like this. That's great. Okay. Let's talk real quick about risk with life settlements. There are two.
Yes.
What's the biggest one?
The biggest one is it could go over and you might have to pay some premium. So you always know that in advance. We tell you how much the premium is going to be, what your risk is, what your profit is, how much the policy is, what the kind of cancer it is. You know, everything before you do it, we always give you all the information.
Okay.
Okay. And the second risk is it's not liquid until it matures. When it's in a policy, it is not liquid. So it does not become liquid again until it matures.
Which is fine for most people because to do a life settlement, you do have to be accredited. So when people compare what you know requirements are necessary in order to do this and you compare them against the risks, it's really not really that big of a factor. So we should probably run through what does it actually mean to be accredited.
You must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your home. And the minimum investment, I don't know if we always tell that or not, is $100,000.
Okay. And we should probably also note, because I know, I think you get questions from new or potential new investors where they're thinking, gosh, we're not actually accredited yet. But then you start going through some numbers and you start going through different things like old 401ks I've forgotten about or different assets that they didn't take into consideration. You've had a couple of examples where people have thought that they weren't accredited. And in actuality, once you got done, you know, compiling all their assets, they actually were more than accredited, right?
That's right. The person really was worth $1.5 million.
Wow.
When they went home and added everything up, like your farm, they had a store, they had, let's see, what were the other assets? Cattle. Yes, they had cattle and horses. This is a ranching family. They had a lot of assets. They just didn't know how much they were worth. And when they added it all up, instead of $1 million, it was worth $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So there was not any problem.
So it is worth going through and kind of compiling all the numbers. It's worth going back looking at old 401ks that maybe people have
forgotten. That's right. And lots of times we've had this happen over the years. People leave a company, they leave the 401k, they forget about it, and 10 years later, the company is writing them a letter saying, you need to move this 401k. And they forgot that it was there. I've had people 2 or 3 years later say, Faye, I found out I had this old 401k over here. I'd forgot about it. So always take that with you. Don't leave it at the company you've just left. They're not going to invest it. They don't want any part of it. They want you to come get your money.
Yeah. And then for assets, the home, your main home that you live in, does that count or does that not?
No, it does not.
Okay.
Everything counts except your house in Texas.
Okay. All right. What about annuities for like risks? Are there any with an annuity?
Not really, because it's inside the annuity and you're not directly in the stock market. So that takes that risk out. These are huge companies, so that takes that risk out. So the only risk is if it's going to make money every year. If it doesn't, the money just sits there. If you have a year that doesn't make any money, your portfolio doesn't go down. It just stops, sits there till the next year. So that's the worst thing that could happen, is if you had a year when you didn't have a gain. But you won't lose anything. It's not going to go down. Because the stock market did. It just sits there.
Yeah.
But then when it makes money, you make money because we trail right alongside it.
What about accreditation? Is there any kind of requirements for an annuity?
It's not as stringent as the other one, but it does have some rules. If you make $1,000 and your liabilities are $2,000, they're not going to do it. If you don't have like $100,000 in savings or stocks and bonds, they're probably not going to do it because you've got to have some assets. And if you don't have any assets, they're not going to do it. So most people know that. Most people have, you know, maybe $250,000 in stocks, maybe $25,000 in the bank or $50,000. All of our customers are pretty well fixed.
Okay. So they are going to look at, you know, your assets and things like that, in-sees and out-sees, as some people put it, but
you've got to have emergency money in your account. If it takes everything you've got every month, they're not going to do that.
Okay. And then, so today, what, December 9th, is there enough time? So say you've got somebody who's never, you know, called you before, never been either in life settlements or annuities. They want to get some information. They want to get started. Is there enough time between now and the end of the year to do it? How long does it take to get set up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got plenty of time.
Okay. It's a fairly quick process, I assume.
Yeah, it's fairly quick. We've still got time.
Okay. For people that are trying to plan ahead, I know that you usually close at some point for the holidays.
Yes.
When is that?
We're
a couple of weeks.
We're going to close between Christmas and New Year's. That week, we're always off that week.
Okay. All right. So people have plenty of time. They just need to go ahead, call you. The bonuses are still, you know, in effect. You know, you're still bidding on policies for life settlements. There's a lot of things that are happening right now. It's a really, really good time. Is there anything, though, that people should do between now and the end of the year?
Well, if they have RMDs due, they need to get that done before the end of the year. There's a 50% penalty. If you don't take your RMD, if you're 73, you better be taking it.
Okay. Anything else, like tax-wise or anything at all people should be aware of, or is that pretty much it?
That's pretty much the only real necessity they've got this year. You've got to do that by the end of the year.
Okay. Cool. So for people to get started, get more information, they do need to call, make an appointment. I assume you've got regular availability this coming week. Yes.
We do, and we'll be talking to people all week.
Cool. And then one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.